As we make our way through more than 5,000 original short stories you submitted this round of 3-Minute Fiction, we promise to share excerpts from some of our favorites. And remember, each story has to begin,
"Some people swore that the house was haunted."
Some people swore
the house was haunted.
Some people swore that the house was haunted.
Some people swore, some people swore. Now, isn't that just about the worst opening line you ever heard in your life? Richard thumbed through the frayed paperback, nearly as thick as it was long. He flipped it over and pointed to the round orange sticker over the barcode. "See," he said, "bargain bin." Molly grabbed the book from him and set it back down on the nightstand. "Leave that alone," she scolded. "In fact, leave all of it alone. Let's just pick something out and go." It was obviously the last thing the woman read before she kicked it, and it's a paperback novel from a bargain bin. I'm just asking you to acknowledge the tragedy in that. Molly slid the closet door aside on its rusty track and observed its contents. She used to think, when handing Mrs. Nora her rent check at the end of every month, that the landlady must have a limitless supply of pastel-colored scrubs. Now here she stood, in front of the entire collection of them, color-coordinated. It was the funeral director who asked her to pick out the dress. He said Miss Nora had made arrangements for herself, but hadn't included that detail. Molly had given her contact information to the coroner, and now...
Some people swore the house was haunted, but Wilma J. Pickering, amateur horticulturalist and self-styled florophile, didn't care. Roses around the porch were dying, and something had to be done. The dilapidated gate could not deter her, the creaking shutters could not dishearten her, the spiderweb-laced windows could not dissuade her. Armed with her trusty pruning shears and leather lady's gardening gloves, she waddled onto the property. Wilma was locked in constant battle. By day, she whispered encouraging words to the blooms that she pruned and primped, but by night, the bushes browned and wilted. Today, as Wilma cooed and clipped, the front door of the house creaked open. Tendrils of smoke curled onto the shaded porch, stopping short of the sunny garden bed. "Wilma," a low voice said. She glared into the shadows and pointed her shears like a rapier. "Mr. Bellamy." A wizened walnut of a man emerged, leaning heavily on a cane. He demanded, as he did every day, that she vacate his property, and then puffed on his cigar for punctuation. Wilma could not let this travesty continue. She stomped her foot and stood tall in defense of the thorny bushes. The old man coughed, and smoke billowed out his nose and mouth. In his scrub-brush voice, he recited the town's trespassing law.
"Some people swore that the house was haunted," Gary said, speaking loudly into the microphone the reporter had thrust into his face moments ago. He didn't know if people thought that. Really, he just wanted to make people think. They can't just go around blowing houses up, even if they think it's for the best, even if they really only tear it down, even if they own it. Gary had grown up looking at that house. "Right across the street," is what he'd told the reporter when she'd asked him where he was from. He'd been standing on the sidewalk in front of the now vacant lot, imagining how the shutters used to hang, the way the crooked porch used to lean to the left, the precise shade of sun-bleached red on the front door. As a child, he'd dreamed of owning the house. "Then we can be neighbors," he told his dad. Later, Gary included his girlfriend in the dream. "We can raise our kids there and build them a sandbox. I'll mow the lawn on Saturdays," he'd told her when they sat on his front steps looking at the house across the street. Then they started fighting about whether to paint the front door Hong Kong sunset or ladybug. Nothing was ever the same again after that.
a few excerpts from three of the more than 5,000 original short stories we received for this round of 3-Minute Fiction. We heard Practically Strangers by Nikki Mayu of New Orleans, Where Roses Grow by Cameron Robbins of Mount Prospect, Illinois, and Invisible Strings by Jolynn Baldwin of Athens, Ohio. Thanks to our own Lynn Neary, Linda Wertheimer, and Bob Mondello for reading them. You can find the full versions of those stories, along with many, many more, at our website. That's npr.org/3MinuteFiction.